All right, welcome back. Our first guest is always leading off the best leadoff hitter in all of sports, Luke Jones, our very own Luke. Welcome in.
Dennis, you're too kind in saying that. How are you? It's great to talk to you again.
You too, Luke. And look, thanks to guys like you, I'm all in with the Orioles. I'm drinking the orange flavored Kool-Aid. I watched the Wednesday night game, the thriller, 2-1 victory over the Tampa Bay Rays. I watched the entire game, so now I love the new changes. The game is faster. I believe, started 6:35. It was done by 9 o'clock, which is wonderful. So very senior friendly, which I'm a senior fan friendly, which I'm quickly approaching. What a fun team this is. And I love the sprinkler celebration from the other night when Gibson had to hold the water to the mouth for 2 minutes while they viewed the instant replay. This is such a fun bunch, Luke. I'm all in. I'm invested. I'm going to a game this weekend against the Pirates. I want to get tickets to watch maybe Shohei Ohtani coming in town with the Angels. So I'm all in with the 2023 Baltimore Orioles.
It's been a lot of fun, Dennis. And we talked about this a lot through the month of April when the Orioles got off to this start. And we acknowledged, look at the schedule they played. It wasn't anything to write home about. Lots of teams that right now are in fourth and fifth place in their respective divisions. And we talked about this a whole lot in the context of, you beat all the teams you're supposed to, beat up on the teams that you should be beating up on, teams that you're better than. And then once you get to the tougher competition, hold your own. Doesn't mean you're going to beat up on them now, but win some series. You know, you're going to drop some series, but hold your own. You know, a formula for being a playoff team, especially in this day and age with three wild cards, is beat the teams that are inferior to you. And then can you go 500 around that? Against the tougher teams. And in all honesty, it's kind of what applies to all sports, really. I mean, even the NFL, beat up on the sub 500 teams and then hold your own. You know, just don't get embarrassed by the teams with winning records. And that's typically going to land you in the postseason. Well, we see what the Orioles did over the last six games, where they go to Atlanta, they win a fun ball game on Friday night, lose on Saturday and Sunday. Both games tough. I mean, they lost on a pinch hit home run on Saturday night. A Sunday afternoon, they lose in extra innings. They come home, they play the Rays, who, as we've talked about, and I know you and I have even talked about over the last month, they've been the best team in baseball. They came into the series having only lost two series all year long. They take game one, the Orioles' first three-game losing streak of the season, and I was already getting the comments on Twitter that the Orioles are being exposed now, and this is what happens when you go up against better competition. And look, I'm not saying people should be happy with losses or completely brush it off, but it's one of those deals where this is why I constantly say, let a season breathe. And I'll still say that after the Orioles take these last two games to take the series and beat the Tampa Bay Rays 2-1 on Wednesday night, but they went up against the top team in the NL record-wise and the top team in baseball in the Rays over the last six games, and they went 3-3. That's exactly what we were saying they should do. You know, if they're a team that fancies itself as a legitimate playoff contender and all of that, that's what you want to do. So as much as at the same time, when the Orioles were 22 and 10, I was cautioning to say, you know, I don't think that this means they're going to win 111 games when you lose three in a row for the first time all year. And it's, oh yeah, the second week of May. That's right. Pretty good right there, because everyone loses three in a row multiple times over the course of a season. That's just how it works over 162. The idea was take a deep breath. They lost to a really good team in Atlanta, 2 out of 3, close games. And then they come home and they lost the first one to Tampa. First time they lost a series opener all season. Again, another one of those factoids, impressive for the second week of May. But they rebound and they get two wins and get the series. And, you know, they're back up to, what, 11 games over 500. And they still have the second best record in the American League. So how can you not be excited? Because, I mean, you look at this team with everything they're doing, you know, pitching, they still need to, you know, that's something that still needs to be better, especially the rotation. Although Dean Kramer certainly pitched well and Gibson pitched well a couple nights ago and all of that. So it's not as though they're getting poor performances. You know, Grayson Rodriguez fared well, but that's always, you're gonna have questions about any club, Ravens, even some of their best years, we have questions about, you know, their certain position groups and whatnot. But, you know, this team's just finding a way to win close games. And it's been tough because so many of the games have been close. So they've had to rely on their bullpen so much. And, you know, we've seen Felix Bautista be a little shaky, but what can we say? And, you know, before I turn it back to you, I mean, Yennier Cano, what he has done since being recalled in mid-April, it has just been remarkable. I mean, there were lots, even talking to reporters a few weeks ago, a lot of people thought he was going to be moved off the 40-man roster. I mean, that's, you know, because he just was not impressive when he came over from the Twins last August. So for him to do what he's done, to pick up Bautista, to pick up the bullpen that has been so good, but has been, frankly, overworked, you know, working more than you'd like him to, especially in so many close games. This team just has, they've got a mojo going right now. And I mean, they continue to play good baseball. And for anyone who's watched the Rays play over the first close to now quarter of a season, we're almost at that point. I mean, they've just been terrific. So, you know, the Rays lost 9 games all year and they just handed them back-to-back losses. And I think that's only the third time the Rays have endured that. So really impressive, really fun series for the Orioles. And they continue to answer the bell. And you know, this team, we started talking about it last year, but they continue to grow up quickly. I think that's becoming more and more apparent.
I saw a quote by Austin Hayes, Luke, where he said, it's been a remarkable and a quick turnaround. Now, it hasn't been quick for the fan base, but for those guys, he said, for instance, a couple of years ago, they were done by the third or fourth inning. They were so far behind, they felt like they were climbing uphill, whereas now they just don't feel like they're ever out of it. They have a very strong lineup, 1 through 9. They have the starting pitching has held up, the bullpen has been solid. But they feel like they can compete with anybody, and they don't feel like they're ever out of it, regardless of what the score says on the scoreboard.
Yeah, no question about it. And I think what he says when he says that it's happened quickly, I think he means more so in terms of even go back to 2021. I mean, you're talking about a team 110 losses. Even going back to last year over the first 6 weeks of the season, really until Adley Rutschman arrived, I mean,
It's
the
true.
record wasn't good. They weren't getting blown out necessarily in the same way they had in 21. You know, 19, and especially 2019 and 2018. You know, 20 was a little bit different, being the pandemic abbreviated season. They were a little more competitive than you thought. But I think it's just more so in terms of it was so bad for so long and so many of those games. And Dennis, look, I'm blessed to be able to cover baseball for part of my livelihood. I've always recognized that. But when you are covering games that are 12-3 in the third inning, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, what position player is going to have to pitch in the ninth inning for the Orioles tonight so they don't just crush their pitching staff?
That's a great
You
point.
really do get into a territory where you're looking at the clock and just feeling like these are minutes of my life I'm
Look,
never going to get back.
you're also
So,
handicapping, though, and you handicap in the hot dog race too.
yeah, right.
On the third or fourth inning,
I
you're
don't
getting
even
that.
do that anymore, right? I mean,
You're
I'm focused
preparing
on
that
the
tweet
game.
to go out, and you're already prepping that tweet instead of paying attention to the game
Right,
because
right.
they're
So,
just so far out of it.
right. So that's where I think with Hayes, I mean, that's where it is that it was like that for so long, and then suddenly it's not like that anymore.
It's
And
not.
now, you know, we saw it really over the second half of last year, really from the moment Adley Rutschman arrived. I mean, we talked about it. This team played basically like a 90-win team from the moment Adley Rutschman
You're
arrived.
right. It's important, even bleeding into this year. What is their record with Rutschman versus without Rutschman? Pre-Rutschman and there's a like a pre-Rutschman era
Yeah.
and a post-Rutschman era with the Orioles.
Yeah, and it's not all him, but it's almost impossible to dismiss it. I mean, I don't, let's be clear, anyone listening here, I'm not comparing Adley Rutschman to this individual, but it kind of does have a little bit of a Ray Lewis effect
Oh,
where we
100%.
talked about it with Ray elevating teammates around him. And you know, I mean, it's baseball. It's still such an individualized
Yeah, but the
sport,
catcher, and
but
again, I'm not a hardcore baseball fan, but I remember Carlton Fisk, for the Red Sox, his impact. Thurman Munson, the Yankees, that guy is the captain. I mean, he's behind the plate. He's handling
Sure.
pitchers. And I saw Rutschman a couple of weeks ago. I forget who the pitcher was, but he wanted to stay in you can tell he was upset. And so Rutschman just went up to him, smacked him in the chest with his glove and said, give me the ball. And at his age, I thought it was, man, here you are
Yeah.
handling an older a veteran and you're telling him, you got to give up the ball. You're
Yeah.
unhappy, but this isn't a spot to express it. Cap said, you're coming out. So he just smacked him in the chest, smiled, and just took the ball from him. And I thought that was just a big telling moment and spoke volumes in terms of his leadership and maturity and how he handled that situation.
Yeah. And I mean, these were the stories you heard about him at Oregon State. These are the stories you heard about him in high school. I mean, this is just who he's been. And I mean, he has that unique that unique trait of he always goes and greets the pitcher off when the inning is over, back to the dugout. That's
Those
almost like a little league thing. That's one
yeah,
of those
but
things that if you didn't know, but if you didn't know who Adley Rutschman was, if you didn't know the respect and affinity his teammates have for him, that would be one of those things that almost feels like it's a little bit of false hustle. You know what I mean? Like one of those
yeah.
things where you'd say, is that genuine or is this a little phony? But it's not. And you never, even after a rough inning, you never see a pitcher like, get out of my face or anything like that. I mean, it just shows the rapport he has with those guys. And that wears off. And that, I think bleeds into the rest of the team, just having that kind of a mindset, that kind of a presence to him. That, again, it's not everything because the Orioles have other good players. And if it were only Adley Rutschman, they still wouldn't be very good. So, other guys have been coming and other guys had arrived before him and have gotten better, and we've seen that. But he really is the glue guy in that way.
He
And I mean,
is.
that's what you want. I mean, especially out of a 1-1, right? A guy that was drafted first overall in 2019. And he's let's also acknowledge not just those traits. He's a heck of a ball player too. I mean, even going through the what he had an 0 for 18 or earlier in the week, he'd still or o over the last week or so, he'd still drawn five, I think 5 or 6 walks over that. And that just shows you the kind of player he is, that even when he's really slumping, he's still very playable as a hitter because he does draw walks and gets on base. And we've talked about that with Gunnar Henderson, off to a slow start batting average wise, but go look at his on base percentage. He's still finding a way to contribute. So when you have young players like that, it just makes what deficiencies you do have, it kind of it kind of eases those a little bit. It makes those a little less significant. So there is an X factor that he brings that's undeniable. And again, what that means for the Orioles this year, do I think they're ready to be a World Series team? Do I think they're that great? I have a tough time thinking they're at that level, but they're very legitimate here. This is a good team. They might be very good. To this point, they've played very good. Although, again, lots of close games, so that does have an impact on your bullpen. So at some point, you'd like to see the bats heat up simultaneously with the starting pitching, and maybe you get some laughers that you don't have to go through your best bullpen guys all the time. But they'll take it. They will gladly take where they are right now. And again, it's one of those situations where if they were in any other division in baseball, I guess other than the NL East or NL East, but the AL East, if they were in the Central or the West, they'd be leading, and they'd be leading by
Sure.
so by a significant, legitimate margin. So it just does speak to how fun it's been, and they're playing good baseball. And to get back to what you said at the beginning of our conversation, it's fun to watch, and you can tell how much these guys enjoy it with the homer hose and the sprinkler and all that different stuff. I mean, if guys don't like each other in that clubhouse, you're not doing that kind of stuff. Now, you can still win games, but you're not doing that kind of stuff. So it just speaks to, the chicken or the egg concept, right? Winning breeds chemistry, or chemistry breeds winning. I think in this case, I think it really is a give take thing with those two, those two components.
Yeah, I would agree with you. So, Lamar Jackson, more established, heading to his 6th year with the Baltimore Ravens. Is it fair to say that as Lamar Jackson is the face of the Baltimore Ravens, that at this point, at this stage, that Adley Rutschman is the face of the Baltimore Orioles?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, I mean, the NFL's king everywhere, not just in Baltimore, but anywhere where the NFL is, it's king. So it's tough to put Rutschman on that same level. And Lamar, of course, has won a regular season MVP. He's been to Pro Bowls, although I certainly fully expect to see Adley Rutschman in the All-Star game this year, barring something weird.
Sure.
But yeah, how could he not be? And again, that's not to say that they don't have other young players and guys that have been around. I mean, Cedric Mullins has certainly become more of a household name the last few years, and has been to an All-Star game, played in the WBC back in March. But Rutschman, yeah, he's that guy. And I think when you're talking about someone who was drafted first overall in 2019, when you consider where the Orioles were the year before that, they entered the year. It's the last year of the contracts for Dan Duquette and Buck Showalter and Adam Jones and Manny Machado and all these different guys. And, they held on too long. What very easy to say that. That's the Captain Obvious statement that they held on too long. But they entered that year hoping to still be in the mix and maybe be in a playoff team and all that. And they not only did they not do that, they were just awful. So, I mean, this thing, it was just, burned down to the foundation, right? I mean, it was ash. This organization, save for a handful of players in the system, so it was quite an endeavor. So when you're talking about a new regime coming in and a new general manager and front office and manager, and you had the first overall pick because you had lost, what was it, 117 games, 115, whatever it was, it's
A
nice to
lot.
put that in the rearview mirror at this point. But you're really in a position where whoever that player is going to be at 1-1, they're going to be viewed as the savior, whether they're truly a special first overall pick or maybe just kind of a more run of the mill first overall pick, because not everyone is special. Heck, some of those guys end up being total busts. I mean, that's
That's true.
baseball. We talk about the NFL draft having uncertainty. I mean, baseball, especially when you start talking about potentially drafting high school kids. I mean, look
Even
out. I
more
mean,
so.
you could draft a Hall of Famer or a guy who never really probably makes it to the majors because he was first overall, but maybe never really deserves to make it to the majors. But when they anointed Rutschman as that guy, there was a lot of pressure that came with that. But he handled it, and he handled it really well. So that's where, to kind of go back to the Austin Hayes comment that you mentioned. I mean, it's where you look at this thing and 115 losses in 2018 and awful again in 2019, awful again in 2021. And then suddenly last May, they weren't awful anymore. And, again, hard to not see a strong correlation there with the arrival of Adley Rutschman, but he'd be the first to tell you he's not doing it alone.
Yeah, no question about it, Luke. They're a lot of fun to watch. And today, for my segments, it's odd, but I had the Orioles as the number one topic. Of course,
Yeah, imagine that, right?
Ravens. A lot of things that you mentioned going on with the NFL. They're the 800-pound gorilla, obviously, in regards to all of sports. But you got the schedule announcements coming out. They've leaked out some of the matchups. The Ravens, of course, going to London, and you attended the Todd Monken presser. On Wednesday as well.
Yeah, let me one comment on the schedule. I mean, it's getting ridiculous now. Do we need leaks for multiple days
Yes,
about,
yes.
like, look, the international games, cool. The Christmas Day games, even though I feel a certain way about playing on Christmas Day, but I'll
Yeah.
leave, that's neither here nor there.
You
But
and I both.
some of these games are just like kind of random that they're announcing, and it's
I
just like,
know,
oh.
I
But
know,
anyway,
I know.
a little disappointed because I'd rather go to Nashville than London, but
You and I
even
both.
though
I've
I
never been to
enjoyed my time in
Nashville.
London.
Yeah, I've never been to
Yeah,
Nashville. I've been to London, but
same.
never to Nashville.
And I very much, and to be clear, I very much enjoyed my trip to London in 17 until the Ravens kicked off. And then, well, that was a disaster we won't talk about. But no, Ravens opened up, had some media access on Wednesday for what they call football school, which is basically it's on-field workouts. But at this stage of the offseason program, you cannot do offense against defense. You can only have offense on the field. In fact, they practice at different times, and it's like a 45-minute session.
Right.
They're doing a little bit of drill work, a lot of alignment and technique work, things of that nature. These guys aren't even in helmets, so not even in their jerseys. So tough to identify them unless you know what they look like by face.
They're doing
So
installs, right?
yeah,
That's the
I mean,
catchphrase.
I don't even know if it's. I mean, it might be even more basic than install work. I mean, they're kind of at the step before install.
Right,
So, but
pre-installs.
we did get a chance. Yeah, but we did get a chance to hear from Todd Monken. Nothing earth shattering. He was asked about Lamar Jackson and Odell Beckham and other, to be clear, other veteran players who weren't in attendance that day at the very least. And look, we're not even at OTAs yet. I'm not of the thought of being moved by attendance for this. We can start talking about that at OTAs. And, obviously Lamar was a big point of discussion there last year, but, Monken was asked about all the weapons. He was asked about, his excitement level of getting to work with Lamar after there being some uncertainty, all those different things, and nothing earth shattering. But I did have to laugh. And I said this to you before we began our conversation this morning, but, Lamar made his comment at the press conference, his signing press conference about throwing for 6,000 yards, which I really do feel that if, even for Lamar, it was tongue in cheek. Like, I don't think he actually believes he's going to throw for 6,000 yards. He might want to, because I think any player wants to put up record numbers and all that. But I think in his heart of hearts, he kind of knows that, okay, we're probably not going to go from being a guy that, has never been a 4,000 yard passer to suddenly throwing for 6,000 yards and setting an NFL record. But, Monken was asked about all the weapons, and obviously, he went through the guys at wide receiver, but he also acknowledged, hey, we've got Mark Andrews and we've got, we've got good tight ends and don't forget about our running backs. We've got Isaiah Likely, we've got J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards at running back. So, and he made the point, there is only one football. And I just thought that was, I found that interesting because, as we said, if Lamar wants to throw for 6,000 yards, I'm not sure how J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards are going to feel about that. I don't know how the offensive line's going to feel about that when an O lineman will tell you any day they'd much rather run block than pass protect. So I've said it all along. I'll continue to say it. I don't think this offense is going from run heavy, even though it hadn't been as run heavy the last couple of years anyway, but I don't think it's going from run heavy to being pass heavy. I just don't. I don't think they have designs of Lamar leading the league in pass attempts. I don't. But that said, I do think they feel they're going to be way more balanced, and I think Lamar is going to be much higher in pass attempts than he's been in the past. I think, Monken was asked about Lamar if he thinks Lamar is going to run as much, and he basically said what I feel like you and I have said probably going back 3, 4 years now, where he said, yeah, I mean, especially as he gets older and as we've added more talent, we want to take a little more off his plate. And I've said this all along. The idea of not wanting Lamar Jackson to run, I mean, that's what his running ability, his athleticism is still what makes him special. It doesn't mean he's not a good passer. Let's be clear about that. But what makes him special is his athleticism. So why would you not want to use that? Now, that said, as he gets older and as he has dealt with a couple of injuries the last year, even though those were both in passing situations, I've said all along, I would view it as a dial, right? It's not a switch. It's not as though you're saying, okay, Lamar, you're just not going to run anymore and you're going to play from the pocket and you're going to become Tom Brady as you get older and older. But it's, for me, it's always been a dial that, okay, yeah, I don't want him to run quite as much as he ran in 2018 and 2019 when he was a 1200 yard rusher and, 20 and 21 and all that. So, I'd like to scale it back. I don't have, if it were me and Monken, reiterated this, this point, if it were me, I'm not going to hold myself to a certain number of rushes per
Of
game
course,
or
of
anything like
course.
that, because you don't know what you're going to need in a certain game. For one thing, it could be windy and rain and all that. And Lamar running might be your only chance of winning that game. So, that he, I'm not to say that he won't ever have another 20 rushing attempt game, but you clearly, I think in a big picture sense, you do want to scale that back and you always want to maintain that threat, but you don't want to have to rely on that threat as much. And I think that's what Monken conveyed when asked that question on Wednesday. And I think it makes sense. And now Greg Roman offered similar sentiments at times.
Sure.
So ultimately actions and how it plays out on the field is always going to matter more than hype and what it looks like on paper and what you talk about in May and June and July. So we'll see how it plays out. But I think that was a very sound, reasonable answer to the question. And I'm looking forward to seeing how this offense takes shape here over the next few months.
Yeah, I thought I saw the 11 an 11-minute clip of Todd Monken's press conference. I thought he acquitted himself well. I thought he was thoughtful, insightful, measured. Struck me as a no-nonsense type of a guy. And in our pre-segment production meeting, you spoke about that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think my favorite quote of the day was he was asked about the talent and how much easier that makes his job. And he said, look, I mean, We're paid to move the football. We're paid to score points, and that's easier when you have talented players. And then he went on to say, as I always say, cookies taste better with sugar than they do with vinegar.
Love that.
So you want to surround yourself with sugar. And while the Ravens feel that they've done a long way, they've surrounded themselves with sugar and what? Flowers, I guess. Say flowers. Terrible joke.
Nice.
There.
I like that.
Terrible joke there, I know.
Oh, I love it. Love it. You missed your calling as a comedian.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, it's, you know, I think he was fairly straightforward. You know, he really wanted to keep the focus on the players that were there. I mean, he was asked about Lamar and some of the other veterans not being there. And he said, look, we're working hard with the guys that are here. We know they're working hard. You know, we certainly anticipate Lamar and those other guys being here soon. You know, I still would be surprised. And, you know, it's a different conversation if Lamar no shows OTAs again, because of the fact that he is under contract and you just made him the highest paid player in the NFL. But for this step where they are right now, I'd be completely phony to say that I'm worked up about Lamar not being there right now. And, you know, as long as he's there for OTAs in a couple weeks, which yes, are voluntary, but it's always been a different expectation for a quarterback, then, you know, I see no problem with that. And keep in mind, we're still 4 months out from the start of the season. So I think there'll be plenty of time for Lamar and everyone to learn this offense and get acclimated to what Todd Monken's going to expect.
And how many number zeros are you expecting to see at the M&T Bank Stadium this fall with that Roquan Smith switching jersey? I, for one, I'm going to get one for sure. I mean, I love the guy.
Yeah, I will say, I can't lie, though. I was a little disappointed because I asked him at the end of last season if he was keeping number 18, because I had gotten that fan question a lot. You know,
right.
Fans love to buy jerseys.
Of course
and he actually, he flat out told me that he was going to keep it because he knew that people had bought number 18. So I think my overall prevailing message here, and the Ravens and players would probably not like me saying this, I'm really at a point now with the number changing, though. I would almost say, you know what? Get yourself a throwback jersey. Get an Ed Reed. Get a Ray Lewis. Get a J.O.
Can't go wrong. Know,
whatever retired.
Justin Tucker.
Justin Tucker. I don't think he's going to change his number at this point. You know, because I do empathize with fans who spend a lot of money, especially, you know, people. I mean, they're not cheap. And I remember growing up, like, getting my first couple Ravens jerseys and all of that. Like, that's not that's a little bit of an investment for, you know, depending on, you know, wherever you are in your life financially. So it is a little bit of a bummer for fans. But, you know, other than that, you know, Roquan wearing number zero, fine. It makes for an interesting fashion tweet for me, which, you know, I always like. So it has been fascinating to see this genesis of where the NFL was with jersey numbers just a few years ago and now seeing what it's continuing to become. And I guess what's next? We're going to see double zero at some point, right?
Man,
I mean,
that
feels like the next
right?
thing.
Right. Wouldn't that be something? Speaking of double zeros, of course, there have been some double zeros in the NBA. I'm watching the Warriors against the Lakers. That series has my full attention.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, Dennis, I haven't had a chance to watch that much, but you know me, I have become a Philadelphia 76ers fan over the last, you know, 6-7 years, something like that. I mean, you know, during the process, I started watching them before they were good and, you know, wondering if Joel Embiid was ever going to be able to stay on the floor. And, but, you know, that's, you know, as you mentioned, the Lakers Warriors series has been, you know, it's been fun and big win for Golden State on Wednesday night. And, you know, for the 76ers, they, you know, chance to close it out. It's been a really odd series. I mean, James Harden, epic game one performance, one of the great performances in Philadelphia 76ers playoff history. And then he was awful in game two and three. And then he hits the big shot in game four where they needed to win, and, you know, they get the win in Boston in game five and, you know, a chance to close it out, you know, if they can, you know, at least win one of the last two. So, you know, the Celtics have been, you know, I don't want to speak out of turn here too much because I'm not incredibly well informed with 76ers history, but the Celtics have been, you know, their version of what the Yankees were to the Red Sox for so many years. And I don't know. I'm starting to wonder if maybe Philly's going to break through, and I think Boston coaching, you know, the coaching situation has probably left something to be desired.
Yep.
I know there's a lot of angst there, but it's been fun. I'm someone who really fell out of my interest in the NBA for a long, long time, but got back into it really over the last 6-7 years. And, you know, the regular season's long. I'd be lying to you if I said I'm paying real close attention in,
sure,
in November and December, but I thoroughly enjoy it, and it's been fun. I mean, you've had that Heat Knicks series that's been, you know, just kind of weird, just not expecting those teams to be there, if nothing else, you know, and Jimmy Butler, some of his heroics over the course of this postseason. So, you know, it's been fun. So, you know, buckle up, see what happens the rest of the way. But certainly, I'm taking a little extra interest in seeing if Philadelphia can break through, because you know, it's been a long time coming for them. I mean, haven't been in the finals since Iverson led them against the Lakers, what, 20 plus years ago. So it's been a minute.
It's been a long minute. I used to be a Sixers fan back in the day when they had Dr. J and Daryl Dawkins and
there you go,
those teams, George McGinnis, the Big Mac. So I used to watch them way, way back. Now I'm dating myself, but. Speaking of ramping up for Memorial Day, WWE has a Night of Champions, and then AEW also has a big scrum coming up.
Yeah, I mean, it's been an interesting time. Full disclosure, Dennis, I haven't been watching as much the last few weeks, just with the draft, with baseball.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, it's just a busier time for me, but certainly reading up on it. And I mean, AEW was at the arena last week. I did not get a chance to go to that, unfortunately. But, you know, it's an interesting time. I mean, WWE, this time of year is always interesting post-WrestleMania. They just did a new draft. As you know, they kind of draft wrestlers to Raw and SmackDown. So, you know, you kind of shake that up, and they're introducing a new WWE World Heavyweight title, which found interesting considering Roman Reigns had the other two titles, so I don't understand why we're creating another one.
WBC, WBA, you know, it's starting to...
Yeah, you know, exactly. They end up being props after a while. That's where it's, you know, it bothers me a little bit as a little more of an old school wrestling fan and wanting titles to mean something. But on the AEW side, it's an interesting time. Lots and lots of rumors of CM Punk coming back. I mean, I don't know if you and I ever talked about it, but there was a lot of locker room drama that occurred last September to the point where there were suspensions and Punk was stripped of the AEW title. And this was real life. This was a real life thing. Like the guys that were suspended, there was a fight and everything. So it had long been rumored whether he was going to be done with the company or not, but lots and lots of smoke that he's going to be coming back and they're going to be having a new show and they're going to kind of separate their own roster. So, you know, lots of, you know, I feel like I'm talking more about the nuts and bolts and the backstage politics of the business, but that's part of it. I mean, it really is. I mean, I could think back in the 90s, and, you know, Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart had such a great in-ring rivalry, but those two guys literally real life hated each other.
Of course they did.
To the point where, you know, I mean, we all remember the Montreal Screwjob and all that, but
yes,
you know, they did patch things up, and they're much more friendly today, so that's good to see. But wrestling, that's part of it. You know, we always joke about you know, the predetermined element about it, the fact that it's fake, but you know, there are ways that wrestling is very real that can be unsettling for a company, and certainly AEW has been dealing with that. But does sound like we're going to hear CM Punk back in the picture sometime over the next month or so, based on the rumors that are out there. But of course, you never know. We'll wait and see.
Great stuff, Luke. Please tell our listeners what you got going on over here at WNST Baltimore Positive, all the great stuff that you do, your blog that we follow closely, and all the other great things you're involved with.
Absolutely. I encourage everyone to follow us on Twitter at WNST. You can follow me personally at Baltimore Luke, as I'll be back at the ballpark. Orioles continuing this homestand as the Pittsburgh Pirates come into town this weekend. Shohei Ohtani, Mike Trout, the Angels come to town, and does look like we're going to see Ohtani take the hill against the Orioles, which is very fun for anyone in attendance, but maybe not so fun for the Orioles trying to win that night. But plenty of great stuff there. Check out my blog at BaltimorePositive.com, sponsored by Coons Ford of Baltimore. Latest on the Ravens, latest on the Orioles, 12 thoughts, all of that. Schedule release, I'll have my thoughts on the Ravens schedule, and you know, try not to read too much into that, but always nice to get that context of knowing when games are and where they're going to be, you know, where exactly they're going to be played if you're having a London game like the Ravens will in October. But you can check that out at BaltimorePositive.com. You want to be on the WNST Baltimore Positive text service sponsored by Coons Ford of Baltimore. You will get the Ravens schedule sent to you. Any significant Orioles or Ravens roster moves, any significant local sports news sent directly to your mobile device via the WNST Baltimore Positive Alternative Tech Service, sponsored by Coons Ford of Baltimore. And of course, anything throughout the week on AM 1570 with Nestor. Ravens sound from Owings Mills, OTAs right around the corner. So we'll have interviews and coaches and player interview podium sessions there. Sound from the ballpark, Brandon Hyde, starting pitcher, post-game reaction, all of that at BaltimorePositive.com.
All right, my friend. Busy weekend coming up. Enjoy it. Lots of sports content to tune into, and we'll have plenty of content to talk about a week from now.
Sounds great. I want to wish a happy Mother's Day to all of our female listeners out there, whether you're a mom, you know, by choice, you know, by birth, whatever it is, you're greatly appreciated. Thank you, and wish that you have a very special day on Sunday.
Always a classy Luke Jones here, joining us at 1570 AM WNST. Luke, I appreciate you.
Thanks, Dennis. Be well. We'll talk next week.
You as well. Thank you, my friend. There he goes, Luke Jones. Make sure you tune in to WNST. He's worth the listening alone. Worth the price of admission. We'll take a quick break. Come back right after this.